Warning, this broadcast is 100% real, unpredictable, unscripted, and may be disturbing to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Para-X Radio Network and the staff of Conversations with the Dead are not responsible for listeners of this channeled content. You have been warned.
Welcome to Conversations with the Dead. This is Bonnie Vent, your host on this journey. These broadcasts and the analysis that follows are quite possibly the largest field experiment on the net. Please welcome my co-host and fellow researcher, John Strife.
Bonnie Vent is a spirit advocate who has for years been in touch with another dimension and its residents. They have sought her help for various reasons, whether recently deceased or having left the physical world over a century ago. Now, here's Bonnie Vent and The Connection.
To all who are listening today or perhaps at some other time. We are very glad that people are joining in with this communication, either in what you refer to as real time or at a more convenient time for you. It is much more important to us that you listen to the messages when you have the appropriate time to dedicate and to focus. We are, yet again, we will say, trying to establish a bridge of communication between the dimension where we reside and the dimension where you reside. We understand that there have been many questions about the transition process and what happens after you exit your dimension, and we are here to help and assist either the individual who may have some questions about their own transition or transitions of those that have come before them. We are very glad and very willing and able to help and assist in these areas. And any other questions that you may have, we will attempt to answer. If we cannot for any reason, we will let you know this. And please, yet again, do not expect this to be a perfect process or a perfect channel. Always listen with your gut instinct and use your own powers of discernment to accept or reject what you hear during these transmissions. Now we will turn it over to John for any questions that he may have or any comments that he may have from prior sessions.
And thank you very much. We have some questions here, and we'll have a series of different things going on here. I'd like to begin with one we received by email. We do have, by the way, just to comment briefly, we are able to receive questions between broadcasts by email, and we'll give you the email address at the end of the broadcast. Also, you may ask questions if you're watching live by using the Ustream chat, and I will relay the message to the channel. Here's one of those questions from email. Has to do with life experience and regressions. The questioner has experienced six past life and between life regressions, as said here, and in between lives, the questioner has observed what is called humanoid entities made of golden light functioning in structures that appeared to be Earth-like constructs. When asked, the questioner was told that these golden lights were creators of our world. And is wondering, was this a valid experience, or is it simply evidence of a wonderful imagination? Your thoughts?
There is an area that this person did travel into. It is possible during a regression where your spirit body somewhat separates from the physical body to be able to travel into these other areas. This was a valid experience. The beings that you came across do in fact exist, and they do create, as do all spirit beings. So this is also a valid statement. They were busy readying some additional things that perhaps you may recall if you set aside some time to sit quietly. You may recall what those are. We don't really want to reveal those to you at this particular point in time. They are rather personal in nature, and we do hope that you will take some time to contemplate this information.
One of our questioners asks if fairies are perhaps supernatural beings, either helping or harming humankind, and they are thought sometimes to explain illness, forgetfulness, death, and so on. A very UK, European perspective. What is your take on fairies, and why should one believe or disbelieve in them?
There are little spirit beings that do project themselves in that way. We would suggest that you look past the label that you put onto these beings and look at them in their entirety. To classify them the way that they currently are or in the nature of the question is to do a disservice. If the questioner is wondering whether or not these energy beings actually exist or whether they are imaginary, they do actually exist, but the label and the stereotype is grossly inaccurate if the questioner is understanding what I'm saying.
Very good. Thank you so much on that one. Here's an interesting quote we came across recently. I'll read it for you, then ask for your thoughts. Here we go. When you come to the ultimate particles constituting matter, there seems to be no point in thinking of them as consisting of some material. They are, as it were, pure shape, nothing but shape. What turns up again and again in successive observations is this shape, but not an individual speck of material. Do you agree? Disagree? Why?
There is science that will tell you that if you continue to expand down in the process, that ultimately you will find that your world is literally made of nothing. And this is true. It is completely holographic and made of nothing. The reason why it seems to be a physical world to you has to do with encoding that happens in your brain function. And so there is a perception of there being a solid table and solid wall, when in fact it really does not exist other than in the brain of the individual. There are universal patterns that, for want of a better way of explaining it, that have been pre-programmed in to the imprint. And so everyone recognizes a tree as a tree and a table as a table. But you will notice that when an emergency situation happens and eyewitness testimony is gathered, that everyone has a little different impression of what they saw. So that is a combination of the universal imprints and the individual interpretation by the individual human based upon their own life circumstances. We're not certain whether this answers what was being presented, but we hope that it does.
Yes, thank you very much for that. Follow on to the fairy question from before, what is the purpose of fairies?
They do not exactly have a purpose in your dimension per se. Every once in a long while, you will have a perception of their existence. They just reside very closely to the physical dimension. And at times there is what might be termed a bleed-through between the two dimensions, and you are then able to perceive them. They do not service humankind or the physical realm, if that is the question that's being asked.
Yes, thank you so much. Another question came along here regarding markings. Of course, oftentimes people do have various sorts of markings on their bodies they find in anomalous conditions. Scratch marks are found sometimes on the chest or the arms, things like that. And they have no idea how they got it. They're pretty confident it wasn't a natural thing they were aware of, didn't rub up against anything, for example. What do you think this might be? Because they have no idea.
There can be a number of reasons for this to be occurring. It is a little difficult to get specific because it does depend upon individual sets of circumstances. One could suggest to the questioner that they look at the way they conduct their thought processes and make sure that they stay in as positive a frame of mind as possible. There is truth to like attracts like. And if you are having self-destructive thoughts, they can manifest physically into things such as that nature scratches and bruises and that sort of thing. One needs to look within before looking externally for the cause, if that makes sense to you.
Thank you very much. Paranormal events can be quite unusual, quite anomalous, and certainly science has pointed in a number of directions regarding what could be going on, from the very skeptical approach to the more almost metaphysical approach. What is your take? Does mental illness and paranormal events, such as seeing things or apparently being possessed or oppressed, do those things overlap?
They can, and mental illness is really a perception. There can be physical things that have gone wrong that will cause mental processes to not function properly. It really depends upon, yet again, the individual set of circumstances. Mental illness is a very broad term for many types of maladies. I think we said that right. So it is hard to speak in general terms, but we will try. There is a correlation, as we said, between what is going on in the thought processes of the human and what manifests out externally. A person who is having a lot of self-destructive thoughts may indeed feel that there is a paranormal cause and that there is something externally that is attacking them. We always suggest looking within first, because that is truly the source of just about everything that you experience externally. There are bleed-throughs between dimensions. There are people who are able, such as this channel and others who are sensitive, to transition back and forth between different dimensions and have different perceptions because of that journey. For the average person who is not doing those types of activities, they may have dabbled into opening of a portal door. This would not have been accidental. And you do have to be careful when you are doing those things, because you will perceive things that you would not normally perceive in your physical dimension. So there is an overlap with mental illness as a generic term, feeling of oppression, feeling of demonics, and that sort of thing. And for the most part, it is a very rare occurrence that you will have a dark entity that is attached to you. but this can occur. It, however, does not occur to someone who has a very positive and healthy mental state. And this is, for the most part, a choice for the human and their perception. Therefore, if a correction is desired, that is the best place to make the correction.
Okay, great. Thank you. Moving on in a similar, kind of a parallel path, we talk about and witness occasionally automatic writing and even automatic drawing. From whence does this manifest?
Those are spirit communication tools, and it takes a person who has a sensitivity to open themselves up. Predominantly, they would be connecting with their higher self, or what you may call spirit guides, to bring forth information. There is a caution here in that that direct type of communication can be garbled by the person's subconscious, and you would always want the information to be double verified if you possibly can. You will hear sensitives talk about this, that they find it very difficult to get information for themselves and much easier for others. This is somewhat true. So if you are doing those sorts of things, it might be best to ask your questions in the frame of assistance to someone else, and there might be more clarity given at that point. Predominantly, most people are here in the third dimension to be of service and to assist others, whether they manifest that physically or not. So you would be going with the natural flow of the process if the questions were more angled towards the assistance and service, as opposed to maybe a selfish means or end.
Thank you very much on that. Regarding the earlier comments on mental illness and paranormal events, a follow-on to that from online, does this indeed explain things like addiction?
Addiction, there again, we are speaking in very general terms for things that can be very specific in nature. Addiction is and can be part of a person's imprint, which does not mean that it necessarily has to manifest, but they can have a predisposition for this to occur. And if they do have that predisposition, which you can also look at in the physical realm, a family history also for this type of pattern. If they do have that and it does manifest, it also is indicative of someone whose mental state is not happy and positive. The person who has an addiction is looking to escape the physical dimension, and therefore that would suggest that there is something that is awry and not quite correct with them in their mental state. This does not mean mental illness exactly, but just that they do not have a positive state of mind at the current time.
Very good. Thank you so much. We mentioned portals a little while ago, and I don't think we've ever discussed this exact topic here. Come up off and on during our work, of course, and maybe it might be helpful to, from the connection, get a little bit more detail of what is a portal per se.
There are areas that, and there are many, on the planet where the electromagnetics, the ground, soil, and such are all conducive to an energy opening between the dimensions. And most of these areas are somewhat commonly known. Some are smaller and more localized, and they do indeed exist. They are an area where spirit beings can enter and exit into what you call the third dimension or the physical dimension where you reside. And they are, for the most part, pretty much in fixed locations. They can alter from time to time. There again, each circumstance is a little different. I'm having a little problem trying to explain this to you because it is foreign to the environment that you are in. We are glad that you are aware that they exist, and we suggest that the best use of these for those that are sensitive is to be as close to a energy area as possible to facilitate communication if that is what is desired. We would also like to note that once in a while someone will stumble upon a portal inadvertently and will wind up in a different place than where they started in the physical dimension. And we will correct this as best that we can. We try to make sure that the energy portals are not next to any doors in the physical realm, but as you can imagine, this can be difficult to arrange. And so do not be alarmed should this happen to you. Actually, it's a rather interesting experience for those that have reported it, and can be quite thrilling, but also a little disorienting. So it is not harmful in any way. There is no need to be afraid of these portals. They can actually be used as a way to establish more solid communication. And so for those that have the calling and are sensitive to it, we do recommend that you use these to the best of your ability as often as you possibly can.
Thank you. Just as a follow-on, perhaps this is self-evident, but how does one find portals? What is characteristic about them?
The energy pattern is just a little different in these areas. You may have some physical sensation that will go along with being next to an energy portal. They would be things like the little hairs on your arms standing up or on the back of your neck. You may have a little slight headache that will happen if you're not used to dealing with these energies. You may get a little bit of an upset stomach. These symptoms will subside as you get used to the energy and working with the energy. But if you have not been exposed to this energy before, then you will possibly have some physical symptoms that will occur. The energy area tends to be a little bit colder than the ambient temperature, so that is another way of making a detection of these little energy areas. For the most part, they can be sensed with your physical body. But we are aware that there is equipment that is being used in trying to determine where these energy areas are. There are some that are very large and very well known, such as the Bermuda Triangle would be considered to be a very large energy portal area.
Interesting, indeed. Quite interesting. You mentioned cold being one of the signatures of a portal, and often during paranormal experiences, cold is felt. This would imply to me there may be more to this than portals, but is in fact cold felt for reasons beyond the presence of a portal, and if so, what might they be, by example?
If you were out doing an investigation, you may be trying to make contact with spirit beings that are still very close to your third dimension. They may use an energy portal in order to enter the area, and you would feel a draft as they enter, a cold draft. And this may be what you are referring to.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. When we talk about portals, we sometimes also talk about so-called safe areas. I know this has come up in conversations before. And what are these safe areas? If they, as I, do they first exist, I guess is the first question. Then the question is, why?
As we progress forward and as things unfold in the not too distant future, it will become more apparent. The areas that are referred to or have been referred to this channel as safe havens are areas where there are portals. It will make it easier for us to transition you quickly if you are in close proximity to a portal area. And this is what we refer to as a safe haven, which only should it become necessary that you be removed out of the area would this come into play.
I see. Thank you on that. Talking of going back and forth between dimensions, realities, and so on, realms, one of our questioners has expressed an interest in learning how to regress, either through meditation or finding someone to help, and has been having extremely vivid dreams, smells, and so on lately at the colonial time frame, feeling like it was in the South, Virginia perhaps. Wants to know what this might mean. This individual's home is decorated period colonial as if they are compelled to do so, and has been this way for quite some time, even as a child. It's like it's everything that they know. Any ideas or thoughts on this?
As we have discussed before, all of your past lives come in with you, and they are stored in an area that is a little off to the side. Therefore, you may not be consciously aware of it. Those who become consciously aware of a past life situation, such as in dream state or feeling a very strong affinity for a particular time period, may be tapping into this past historic record. And we would suggest a couple of things to this particular individual. One, you are being asked to bring forward some of the past life situation into the present. And times were very different during colonial times and were also in not so different from present day political unrest and that sort of thing. And the individual needs to spend a little bit more time on bringing this life forward and sorting through what may be useful to this person in this life now. And it is no accident that you have a memory of this. And now is the time to be bringing those things forward.
how would they proceed to do that, to bring it forward?
You can do this yourself, and in some ways you already are in your dream state. You need to pay attention to the information that is being provided to you and do your best when you wake up to write everything down before it is forgotten. In your awake moments, you can sit quietly and focus on your recollections from your dream state, which should take you back into that particular area of the record. You just need to have a little bit more faith that the information that you are receiving is valid. And we understand that you can think perhaps it is just flights of fancy or imagination. But with a very real purpose in mind, setting the intention of what information do I need from that time, and just open yourself up and let that information avail itself to you. And please document everything. If you don't feel comfortable writing it down, then tape record it so that you have record of the information that was provided to you, and it will be helpful to you as you move forward with the process. You can also, if you so desire, have the assistance of someone who will put you into a somewhat light hypnotic state and can assist you with pulling that information as well. But it sounds that that might not actually be necessary in this case, because the information does seem to be flowing already. You just need to open up a little bit more and let more information flow through.
Very good. Thank you so much. We've been asked another question by email. Kind of an unusual scenario. Questioner writes, I do not perceive auras at the time, but I do perceive them if I think of an occurrence later. He gives an example of a neighbor seen daily. When remembered, seems to be surrounded by bolts of static electricity. What's happening?
This really is a uniqueness of the conscious mind of the person who is perceiving this. When the information is stored, it is stored with that energy imprint on it as well. And there is nothing wrong with this. It is normal, but it is also unique. So it has to do with the storage system of the way the energy is stored in the conscious mind.
Interesting. Do you think there is a psychic connection between mother and child? Certainly one hears stories of mothers suddenly knowing their child is having a nightmare, running a fever. When the mother checks, the child actually has that issue. Of course, it's commonly called paternal instinct. Might it be stronger with one child or with all children? Where does this ability come from? Is it unique to mothers also?
It is not necessarily unique to mothers, other than the female energy is one of nurturing, and therefore they tend to be, and once again we are speaking in very general terms, they tend to be more attuned with their children. You also have the physical connection, as in the mother was carrying that child for 9 months prior to its birth. But if mothers were completely honest, they would tell you that they have more connection with some of their children than they do with others. and can actually wonder where that child came from, as in feeling that child is completely foreign to them and their way of being. And so there is a connection. Men tend to more compartmentalize their emotions, and they put what they call hunches into play, but they tend to do this more with things that are not quite so personal. This, once again, is a generality, and there are men that are very connected with their children and have the same kind of alarm bells going off when they know something is wrong. And they can also have the same feelings towards their spouse as well. And so it's always dangerous to speak in general terms, but yes, women, because they give birth to the children, tend to have a stronger connection. And do not be alarmed if you do not have this connection with your child. Some people are from the same spirit family and have a very strong connection anyway, whether they have given birth to that child or not.
Thank you very much for that. Turning to a different topic entirely, some mediums of the 19th century exhibited what was called physical mediumship. This channel, just for reference, is what's called a mental medium. But physical mediumship involved the movement of objects and various kinds of productions, usually in a darkened seance room, just for the benefit of the viewers. And one of those productions was known as ectoplasm. And certainly there were, at the time, metaphysical explanations from the spiritualists' camp and things like that for what this was. I'd be curious to know what you, the connection, think it is, or say it is. Ectoplasm.
We really do not have a kind comment to make on this topic. There has been so much fraud, and so many people were taken advantage of because of their yearning to connect with family members. And we really do not have a kind thing to say. There can be physical manifestations of objects moving and that sort of thing due to the energy going through the medium. And those are just slightly anomalous little bits of activity. But the sessions that you are referring to, for the most part, I feel, were to defraud.
And that is a quite interesting comment, since it now appears that many psychical investigators were as likewise defrauded in the late 19th and early 20th century especially. So yes, that is actually very consistent with what was found in later recovery. Yet the out-of-the-box thinking from early psychical researchers that led to amazing theories actually have held up. They're not actually called into question. They're actually quite valid, even though what they saw was actually fraud. An interesting little detail of scientific history. Let's turn from that to empathy. The questioner tells us that he was born an empath, but is just now coming to terms with it, and struggled with other people's energies throughout childhood and adulthood, did not understand the emotions, sadness, anger, or so on, that he experienced, and still struggled with releasing that energy. Very uncomfortable in large crowds, at times feels overwhelmed. We're looking for ways to cope with this. Really starting to crave nature as a release from this chaos. Have spoken with a higher power, put up shields, meditated, but we're all vulnerable and would appreciate any suggestions that you might have.
I I hesitate to say unfortunately, but I guess that's what I will say, because this individual now is not happy with his sensitivity. Perhaps it would be helpful for the individual to know that they were desirous of that before they came in and wanted to know what it felt like to be in someone else's shoes, so to speak. And now, having experienced it, is quite uncomfortable, and we understand the discomfort with this. Perhaps if you reconcile that you did decide that this is something you wanted to experience initially, maybe it will help so that you don't feel so victimized. The processes that you are currently engaging in are the right ones to be involved with. If you get overwhelmed, then you need to remove yourself from the situation. You also should not surround yourself with people that have a lot of drama going on in their lives. So you need to pick and choose very carefully about who is in your inner circle of friends, and just stay away from others that are disturbing to you. There is no need for you to try and assist them, although you may feel that you need to do that. The purpose really was just to feel as others feel, not to attempt to make corrections in the way that others feel. And we hope that you understand that you do not have this burden upon you. And if you choose to get out into nature and walk in nature, that is a very healthy thing for you to do. The animals and the ground and the area, the energy of the area, will help you in clearing out all of the energy that you have picked up from others. So you are on the correct and right track with this. Once again, please just release yourself from any burden to attempt to fix or to assist those around you whose energy you are feeling that you find overwhelming.
Thank you very much there. Thank you. We spoke of cold spots a while ago, why cold is felt, and responded to that, and that generated another thought in my mind. Oftentimes people report warm spots in paranormal experiences. Same thing, or is that a slightly different thing?
They are both valid and really depends upon the energy of the spirit that is attempting to come through and the process that they're using to do that. So it can be just as valid that the temperature will rise as fall. It is more common that the temperature will fall. And this has to do, as we said before, with the access via an energy portal, which actually has a rush of air and a cold draft that is associated with it.
I see. Thank you so much for that. I have an online question here that the questioner's experienced a channeled entity that played with the dog. It was quite unnerving. They would go on to say that the dog was seen playing with what literally seemed to be nothing more than thin air. It asks, is the dog psychic? We're talking about Pooch ESP. What do you think's going on?
Domestic animals can be so-called psychic or sensitive, and they can have perceptions of other realms and of spirit people that may exist in the room. And not so different than the human, there can also be animals that are like a stone and have no perception whatsoever. So yes, animals can have sensitivities and often do, and not just domesticated animals. You'll see signs of this where particular animals such as a frog will be able to detect a earthquake coming, for instance. And birds also will behave differently if there's an event that is getting ready to happen in the physical realm. So animals do have their own sensitivities. In some cases, they are actually more sensitive than the human because they live so close to the land and they don't have the day-to-day type of activities that the human may have.
Thank you so much for that. Just a reminder, we have about 15 minutes to go here, so if you have any other questions, please do type them in Ustream and I'll be happy to relay them to the channel. Here's another one that came to us, found kind of interesting. This has to do with an individual who has two nephews that they want to protect from harm. And this background story, very briefly, is this. The immediate family and the extended family is able on different levels to interact with the spiritual world. And these powers seem to develop by the time the children in the family are about 8 years old. 2 years ago, the eldest started seeing things in the home which the family already knew about, so weren't concerned. He was told nothing could hurt him if he trusts his gut feelings. The next year, the next oldest was driving past a house they had formerly tenanted, which this child had not lived in, and a menagerie of horrors occurred there, apparently. Stopped the intersection now outside the house. He pointed at the house, said George used to live there. But this thinks probably this was a brother named George and who had had some rather ill experiences. Wants to protect the family because it's seeing dark spirits and things like that. And tried banishment ceremonies, not really working too well. Wants to know how to block their abilities, which seems to this questioner, it might be actually stopping a part of who they are. So they're kind of in a conundrum. Any idea of what this person might do?
They certainly would not want to block the abilities of the child. This is a very common occurrence, unfortunately. Children can be quite sensitive and they will be dismissed by the adults and will still have the experience but won't talk about it. Therefore, this becomes a suppressed experience and can have some negative effects in the environment as well as with the child itself. The perceptions that an entity is dark, or even to refer to it as an entity, we suggest that this be reevaluated. If this is, in fact, a human spirit, they can be angry, perhaps, they can be desperate, perhaps, but they are not necessarily dark. This tends to come from religious dogma, and we suggest that you set those sorts of belief systems aside if you can, and just look at what is physically occurring. And the child can cope with the information that is coming through by simply speaking with the individual who is trying to communicate with them and explaining to them that you are disturbing me, you are scaring me, and please stop. And for the most part, a human spirit will honor that. And if they do not, then the best thing is to remove the child from that environment. It can be much easier, even if this is a home where the child lives, it can be much easier to remove the child and put the child into a different home, as in sell the house, buy another, than to try and get involved with battling the spirit world, so to speak. But there again, be careful about your perceptions and whether they're clouded by religious belief systems.
This might fall into that same general belief system category. It's a question that in research I notice coming up quite often in various forums, and is often asked, and so I'm going to throw it out here. Not quite sure how it will be received, but I'm going to give it a shot. We hear periodically, and I've seen a lot of it recently for some bizarre reason, people talking about, quote, seeing death, unquote, describing this person as an individual, death itself, in remarkably similar ways, usually varying only with the individual percipient, but very consistent vision. And we hear about, like I say, more and more, rather reminiscent of the indigo children apparently having unique abilities, manifesting in a short time frame a few years back. Anyway, question is this, are these death appearances of soul collector, if you like, is this even a legitimate concept? Is it more dogma? Or is there some actual fundamental truth to it at the end of the day?
Soul collector, I would say no. Can there be, ahead of a person's death, a preparation that takes place where they would become aware of spirit beings that are assisting them with the transition in what you would refer to as death? We refer to it as transition, or exiting the third dimensional reality, whichever term you care to use. The preparation process can occur while the person is still alive. So they might be aware of particular beings that are preparing them for this transition. But is there such a thing as the Grim Reaper? No, there really is not. It is a process. There are many people that are involved with this transitionary process. And to become aware of a few that are assisting with that is very common. So we are hoping that this is what people are seeing, and that they're not thinking that there is one individual being that comes and collects souls. That is not very practical, is it, if you think about it?
Thank you. You mentioned people who are about to die or in this transition process seeing such things. How about people who are third parties, who witness them as someone else is preparing to or transitioning?
That is entirely possible as well. It depends upon the sensitivity of the person. They may indeed experience that. They may, if they hold the hand of the loved one while the loved one exits, they may actually see and experience the separation of that energy. And it's very interesting that even doctors may report this to you, that they know when to stop trying to resuscitate, and they just instinctively know, or so they will tell you. But there is an actual physical change that does occur, and they're intuitively picking up on this change of energy. They actually know that the spirit body is no longer there and that it has separated. They may not explain it to you this way, but this is indeed what they are perceiving.
Thank you very much. From online, why did a relative already passed appear and refuse a hug? Because he had been very sick, but isn't getting better. Isn't he better immediately? Thoughts?
This sounds like someone who was still in the transitionary process. This can be a little difficult if the person did have a long-term chronic illness that is deeply ingrained not only in their physical body but also in their spirit body, and it may take some time and a lot of conference on our part to convince them that this is no longer a valid thing in their life. And therefore, they may feel that they are going through a healing process. Truly, you are correct. It should be instantaneous, but free will remains even upon exiting. And this may carry over. And so if it is more comfortable for them to feel like they are getting better, as opposed to dropping the physical body and no longer having illness, then this is completely a valid experience for them. And they really are just taking a little bit longer to go through the process. There's nothing wrong with that. And they are experiencing at the same time the process of getting better, which is also a valid experience. So it is completely fine, but they may have a misperception that if they were to hug you, that you would become ill or things of that nature, or don't touch me because it hurts if you touch me. They're just not quite aware yet that the physical body is what was unable to be touched or what was sore or ill in some way. And they will get through this process and they will release all of that and be completely fine. There's no need to worry.
Thank you. Last question for today. We hear of occasions where people are spontaneously, quote, saved, if you like, from various potentially life-ending events. This particular question talks about a multi-car freeway crash. What kind of forces are at work, in this case lifting the car, and perhaps as interesting and as important, why?
This particular experience actually occurred with the channel that you see before you. And so we can tap into and get a little bit more of the specifics of this event. And we would like to say that it was a combination of things. There were four people in the car at the time that this event occurred. They were all aware a few moments ahead of time that this potential event was going to occur, and they were in prayer at the time and asking for safety for the driver of their vehicle. So this came into play. You have very strong intention of four very sensitive individuals that have a lot of energy in and of themselves. You also have, along with that, all of the higher energy and guidance that they bring in with them. And it was indeed not supposed to occur at that particular time. There was a small amount of intervention that did indeed happen. And we also were aware and used the energy of the living individuals in the car as well. Some may find this a little bit difficult to believe, but human beings do indeed have the capability to cause this kind of an effect. We did assist, but not in as large a way as some may have thought, or certainly those that were in the car at that time.
Quite interesting. So abilities of humans living in a third dimension, our physical realm, actually have something to do, potentially, if all other things being equal, with our ability to survive.
That is correct.
That has quite a bit of hope for a lot of people. And I think with that, we're going to close questions for today, and want to thank you very much for joining us. We'll turn it back briefly to the connection for final comments.
We would like to thank you for the most excellent questions that were provided today. We hope that they were useful to you and that you take away the love and care that is provided with the energy that is coming through to you. We hope that you are able to sense this and that we are deeply concerned about you and care very much about your welfare. And we hope that you will look at the other broadcasts that have occurred before this one, because we are trying to build the information as we go. And we hope that you will join us next time. We really enjoy these sessions and being able to interact with you on this level. And we hope that you find it enjoyable as well. Till we meet again. Conversations with the Dead is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. You can contact us at gencreations@aol.com or visit Bonnie Vent at bonnievent.com. Thanks for joining us.